This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock. Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. This is episode 385. And Cecil, we are in the final countdown.
Final countdown.
The on our
final
way.
Final countdown.
No. No, you know, there's nobody needs to make. That's the worst theme music ever. Now it's in my head for the rest
I know.
Of my life.
It never goes away. That hook stays with you.
Yeah. God, that's toe curlingly awful. Yeah. That is
you're
dick wiltingly terrible.
Not a big Final Countdown fan. Who even sings that song?
Is that show even a show still?
Oh, I thought there's a song called The Final Countdown.
Oh, I thought it was a show.
There's a song.
Oh.
It's an 80s song called The Final Countdown. I don't know who it's by.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was a TV show, like a game, like a music singing talk show.
I'm sure it is.
Reality gaming.
I'm sure it is, but the like video for it.
Oh, you're calling
is Europe.
It
I can't play any of that on the show though.
Oh, because
it'll YouTube will flag us.
Yeah.
So we just had a very funny conversation about Europe. And their hair,
man,
and the Final Countdown.
That hair is beautiful.
It
the
is.
Drain Wookiees that hair would produce
in the
shower.
You know, every one of those guys got their locks for love when they clipped it off. You know what I mean? Every single one of those guys helped a cancer patient.
What does it cost to get a perm with that much hair?
I know.
That's a lot.
That's the thing. Like I'm a guy with long hair, but I don't do anything to it, right? Like, so all I do is I just wash it and condition it and then brush it. That's all I do, right? But like you see these guys
like
from
100
the
80s, strokes every morning.
There's like a million fucking curlers in it and they got like fucking it's frosted. So they had to see somebody to do that work. And I'm just like, fuck you.
Any guy who sings in a band with a power ballad is the least tough guy possible. That's just true. And that includes Axl Rose. Fuck you, Axl Rose.
Oh, that guy's chubby now. Have you seen him?
I remember like, no.
Whoa, welcome to the donuts. Oh my goodness.
Is he a fatty fat fat?
He came out. Yes, he's huge. He's enormified. He came out. He came running out at
Runnier. Oh, yeah.
That's exactly what happened. It's exactly, he come running out. He's like jogging out. And then he's like, welcome to the jungle. It's fucking amazing.
Welcome to the jungle. We got cup of cakes.
Exactly.
Well, not so many anymore because I done ate the cup of cakes. But Cecil, we are actually on the countdown to our trip to Australia to go to the Skepticon conference.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I'm crazy excited. I've got a list of things to get bitten by.
Nice.
So it's substantial. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much all of the flora and fauna in all of Australia. And what I want to do first thing, I don't know if you've got a list of like shit you want to do when you get there. I want to hug one of those gimpy trees.
Oh, that's a good stuff.
That's what I want to do.
Well, I actually want to wipe my ass with one. I think that's what I want to do.
And I want
one of those ones that gives you like paralysis, right? Like that's the tree that like gives you paralysis.
I think that's the one that's made out of like venomous fiberglass or something.
Like, yeah, and like it can go away for and then come back months later or
right,
something.
Yeah. It's like it's gonna hurt every time.
It's like poison ivy. If that was like we lived in a radioactive world,
it's like a fucking venereal disease of a tree.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's like it hurts when I piss or breathe.
Fits. Australia is like a venereal disease of a country.
Oh,
so that kind of fits, right?
That's rough, man.
Well, it is. I mean, what? Nobody wanted it.
The Aboriginals did, but
no, they didn't.
They killed them.
Mm. They didn't want the like. They didn't want like the fucking colonialism that is Australia.
I guess they did. Yeah, right.
They were like, hey, can you send some colonies over here? Yeah. Hey, can you send your worst people over here?
Or just, you know, what's so funny. It's like a lot of the people that got sent to Australia. I was doing a little reading on our in advance of our trip to do a citation needed episode that we're doing on theirs. And like, you know, I guess I assumed that the criminals that they sent to Australia would be the, you know, the worst of the worst, the most troublesome bunch. Like, cause they shipped them off to a fucking island.
Really far away.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I want to talk about that for a second too. But like, these are guys who like stole a sheep.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They just like, they didn't really do anything all that bad. They're just like, I stole a biscuit. It's like, well, we're going to put you on a boat and we're going to transport you to Australia. How much would it cost to do that? Like,
seems outrageous.
It does seem outrageous. Like, and then like, I think the idea is like they transform to this, you know, this island in the middle of nowhere and it's a giant prison colony. We're like, I must be brutally honest here. This is garbage times. Why not just put them in a boat and then sink the boat?
Yeah.
You know?
It's garbage. It's not like, so you just put them on the garbage scow and you sink the garbage scow out in the
middle.
I'm
just saying, like, this is not a time period in history where human life was well valued.
We don't have one of those rafts full of plastic out there, just a raft full of bones.
I just don't understand that at all.
I don't get it.
But I am looking, I'm very, like, I'm crazy excited to go. I've always wanted to go to Australia. I've always wanted to wrestle a bull shark. It sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Probably going to win. Not going to win at all. Going to win, but it's in 2 weeks. So if you're going to be in Australia, you're going to be at Skepticon, you know, let us know. We'll buy you a drink and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah,
it's going to be a good
come
time.
Find us. Yeah.
We have a live show in the afternoon
live
on
show
Saturday.
In the afternoon on Saturday. We're in a morning show of Citation Needed the next day.
Yes, indeed.
We'll be around for the whole thing. We'll be hanging out. So come find us and we'll have a drink.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
So I'll talk about this story. This comes from the independent.co.uk. Egyptian lawyer says it's a national duty to rape girls who wear revealing clothing like ripped jeans. Now, I want to make sure that we don't misquote because sometimes, and not so much for the Independent, right? Yeah. But every now and again, you get a headline that's sensationalized. Here's what he said. Quote, are you happy when you see a girl walking down the street with half of her behind showing? And I read that and I thought, is that a rhetorical question?
Mm.
Because I don't know how the answer is no. I don't understand what the answer. Are you happy when you see? Well, I guess the answer could be no.
The answer
it depends,
could be no.
It depends pretty. Yeah, no. It depends on
it
that.
It absolutely
yeah.
could be no.
So, but he says, instead of being amusing, he says, I say that when a girl walks about like that, it is a patriotic duty to sexually harass her and a national duty to rape her. So that's the words he said out loud.
Yeah.
And meant them.
Mm-hmm.
Now his, to be entirely fair, his comments have been pretty roundly denounced.
Sure. What it says here, it says, that his remarks have prompted fury across the country and Egypt's National Council for Women announced its plans to file a complaint against the TV channel. It's also issued a plea to media outlets to refrain from providing a platform for individuals who make incendiary comments and incite violence against women. This deplatforming shit just has to stop. I just think, you know,
doesn't he deserve a
one
forum
of those things?
For his free
speech? Yeah, this guy just deserves to be able to let's just make sure we have this contest of ideas, Tom. And I don't understand why we don't just want to hear this guy out, you know?
Well, we should definitely make sure that if he was invited somewhere, he's still invited
absolutely.
To that place.
Absolutely.
Even after saying this
it's
shit,
your
right?
it's your national duty. You know, you're proud to be an Egyptian. Hold your hand over your heart to rape this girl.
You know, what's the difference between your patriotic duty and your national duty?
Mm.
Like,
you might have toilet paper use,
okay.
I think,
yeah.
afterwards.
There you go.
So, the comments come after Egyptian capital of Cairo was last month branded as the most dangerous megacity for women in the first international poll, which looked how women fare in cities over 10 million people. Another thing this idiot had said was, he argued that if women become judges, they would also become muftis and a Muslim legal expert.
Great.
That would have the power to give rulings on religious issues. And he said, if we let a woman become a judge, why shouldn't we let her become Sheikh of Al-Azhar? I don't know what that means. And he says, why shouldn't she become a mufti? Why don't we all just go to hell? Will she issue me a fatwa if she is menstruating? These guys all treat women like a fucking gas can while somebody's smoking. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they're just like, what would happen if, you know, there was a woman who happens to be bleeding from a vagina? What would she do to us? What on earth would she do to us? It's just like, I don't know.
the same things if she wasn't bleeding from her vagina? Like, I don't understand what the fucking problem is.
It's so funny. It's like they say this shit as if it's like self-evident that the act of menstruating is going to make a woman like another creature. They fucking transform into some bizarro subset of a human species. It's like they just expose their incredible ignorance whenever they do this. Like, to the whole world that understands how biology works, it's not when you're menstruating. It's the 5 days before you start menstruating that's the problem.
That is true.
Yeah. That's when you can't issue a fatwa.
That's when you can't even issue a "can you clean the fucking dishes?" You know what I mean? Jesus. In other news, I'm getting divorced.
So. You say to someone else, "You know, I'd like to give $1 million to God," and they look at you and say, "Wow, what's the matter with you?"
All right, so this is from CBS8.com. And I love the way that they phrase this shit.
I love this. This is great. Yeah, it's not a great story. It's just the way it's written.
It's so great. Christian College can't explain $20 million in expenses. Agency cites very sketchy budget. Hold on. Yeah, I think if you're missing $20 million, I'm working on my budget right now, right? For work. And I think if I was just like, "I can't find $20 million.
Could you imagine doing your household budget and like $6,000 is missing? And you'd be like, "Honey, where's $6,000? Where did that go?" And then you're like, "Why?
I bought a lot of porn this year."
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what I did with
guess
it.
Guess I didn't keep a receipt. Yeah.
I guess I made it rain way too many times at the strip club. I thought those were ones. I just don't know, like, how do you... And I was talking to you earlier about this. I work in higher ed. So I recognize that there is now currently... higher ed is starting to feel a dip in enrollment. And it's not just feeling a dip in enrollment. We're also feeling a hit from grants and things that are being pulled away. The government is not funding higher ed like it used to. We're currently in a situation in higher ed that is a little bit tenuous. It's difficult. There's cuts being made at many different universities, departments, and I can only speak for the university that I work for, but the departments that earn are okay, but those departments that are not earning that are losing, they are in trouble. They are in severe trouble. And so I can see where, you know, some people, like when the housing market was on and people were getting, like, you know, every weekend at the bar, they're getting $10,000 bottles of Cristal delivered to the table or whatever, you know, and it money just keeps coming and it's coming and it's coming. And then finally, you know, you hit a dry patch, right? And it's like, uh-oh, we've got to change how we run the business, et cetera. But in this case, it's not even like that, right? It's not even to the point where it's like, oh, we just misappropriated some of this money and moved it around, or we spent too much on our students or whatever.
Right.
In this case, it's just like, don't know what happened to it. We just don't know.
Did you check your desk drawer for 20 million? Did look under the table over, lift up that couch cushion in the dean's office.
Yeah.
$20 million might have fallen out of his wallet.
Yeah. Is there a way to, I mean, I can't. $20 million is a lot of goddamn money.
It's a lot of money.
That's a lot of goddamn money. And the thing is, it's a Christian school, and they're saying, even the students are saying, like, they promised us stuff like facilities and whatnot. Well,
all right. So the chief financial officer for this Christian college in San Diego says he can't remember where the money went.
Yeah.
Oh, no, guys. He's the chief financial officer. His job is to know where the money's at. That's why the word financial is the second word in his title. It's not like they asked like the dean of arts, you know what I mean? It's not like they were like, hey, by the way, Joe the custodian, do you know where that's went? It's not my mop bucket. I don't know. It's the chief financial. His only job is to know where the money is.
The first thing, though, in his title now is unemployed chief financial. So unemployed is the first thing.
Well, now he's squaw financial. He was chief and he's been bumped down.
Yeah, exactly.
To brave financial officer or whatever. I don't think he changed gender.
The Bible says they're going to eat their arms. The Bible says they're going to eat their babies. Then it says they're going to eat their children. That's what people do when they get hungry.
So, stories from Right Wing Watch. This is Strange Steve. The firing of Anthony, we're going to go with sarcophagus.
Scaramucci.
That's what I said.
Scaramouche.
He can do the fandango. He's a sign of Trump's deepening Christian faith. So let that one sink in. This is on, by the way, shockingly, The Jim Backer Show.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Lori and I are on the advisory council. We don't talk about that a whole lot, but
we're talking about it right now in front of everybody that ever listened to the show.
And then they like immediately flashed to a picture of them all. We don't look. Here's the thing. I have an 11-inch penis. I don't talk about it very much. Anyway, here's my book. I have an 11-inch penis and a picture of my 11-inch penis.
And I just texted all of you my penis. I dick picked all of you.
Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to hit this baseball with it. Punk. Really? Really? Dude, just show off if you're going to show off.
It's so funny because he's just like, I don't really talk about it, but just showing you everybody.
And I'm going to spend the next 25 seconds talking exclusively about this, by the way.
So many of us, and it's people like Billy Graham's daughter.
And Graham Watts.
Yeah. She's big. That's a big girl. Either that or Jim is shrinking. I'm not sure.
Well, her name is just Ann Graham. Just a descriptor.
He has so many pastors and preachers on his advisory boards.
They're talking about Trump, by the way. They're saying he has so many preachers on his advisory boards.
Well, but then he'll stop and he'll say his spiritual advisory board. Oh, okay. And it's like, well, who else would you have on your spiritual advisory board? Physicists? Yeah. He doesn't even have that on his fucking energy board.
No shit. He doesn't he had that fucking Chubby McCheverson who just stepped down for the agriculture, that guy.
Oh, Did you see that?
Fucking rotund motherfucker. The guy whose chin is like strategically placed in between his two cheeks. It's sort of a floating chin. Did you see that
guy?
How big that guy
is? Covered him on the chin. He was a smart choice for the agriculture job because he's eaten an entire 4-H fair. He ate the whole fair.
He could grade himself,
right?
He could be like, I'm gonna go Chuck because I think I'm marbled. I'm gonna go grade A Chuck.
I ate everything with a blue ribbon on it.
What is his name?
I don't remember.
Oh God.
Everything with a blue ribbon. I'll take one of everything in here with a blue ribbon on
it. Just flossing with a blue ribbon after it's done. It's just fuck it. The fuck is his name? Clovis.
Oh, Cloven. Yeah.
Sam Clovis. Yeah.
God, what a terrible name. Ugh.
Spiritual advisory board that they all can't come to meet at one time. Dr. Don Colbert and Mary are on.
Well, then there's too many people. Yeah. If your spiritual advisory board is so chock full of you Yahoo ass idiots that he's clearly just manipulating in order for him to get for you guys to turn out votes and orchestrate his base. If there's so many of you guys, he can't put you all in a room for a meeting. Then what fucking good is that advisory council? Call in my advisors. I don't know. There's too many of them. Well, give me the good ones now and like A squad now and B squad later. What?
Let's set them up into tracks. So we'll have the A. Right? Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we'll get A track.
Right.
And then Tuesday, Thursday, we'll get B track.
I was gonna say college prep, but it's not in their cards for these guys.
I guess not. No.
No.
On the advisory board. Yeah. Well, they go to a different meeting than we go to because the boards are so big.
And it's growing. I mean, more and more and more and more and more.
I
love it. He just cuts her off. She's just like, more and more. He's just in his mind. He's like, she's just going to keep saying more.
I better stop her now.
She'll run out of air.
It's just to talk right over her.
It would be great if she's just like, more and 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 more. She just keels over, just talks herself right out of air. Oh, nobody stopped her. She's so used to being talked over, God. She didn't know her brain just went on repeat.
The best part is she's looking to the other side now. She looks like the Joker.
That is a woman who's had so much plastic surgery.
She has.
Her skin has been stapled to the back of somebody else's head.
There's a doctor with a knee on the back of her head just pulling as tight as he can. Tying a knot back there. Just like, whatever. Give me my money. I don't care.
She's the only woman walking around with two balloon knots. You can figure the back of her head.
And she's starting to look like a fucking guy with a fucking leather face at this point. Like she's wearing someone else's face. And you're just like, is that your head? Lori, is that yours?
It's like you kind of want to be like, okay.
Yes.
I'm going to give you this. Yeah. No wrinkles. Okay. That's a plus.
No, that's fine.
Downside is you no longer look human.
The downside is you look more feline than human. Right?
You look like a naked cat. Yeah. That's what you look like.
This is so interesting. And people say, how can you endorse Donald Trump as a Christian? Did you ever hear anybody ask you that question?
Well, they haven't asked that specific question, but...
No, nobody's asked you that question.
Nobody's ever asked that question. Yeah. Why do we... Who cares? Why would you endorse him, period, let alone as a Christian?
As a Christian, I know. I know.
You know, whether or not he's a Christian is between him and God.
That's right.
Well, it wasn't between God and Obama.
Right, exactly.
Right?
That's the thing, right? It's not between Obama. It was, his preacher's too black. Oh, he's a secret Muslim.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's, you know, he's not a Christian. He's not a Christian. You said that all the time.
Right.
It's not for all of us to judge him. Now,
unless he's black.
Right.
Now, the thing is we got a white guy now. And now we're not going to judge. We're not going to backseat drive the white guy. Let's just let the white guy do what his thing.
Because everybody knows he's a lot whiter than the black guy. All right.
The black guy was a little white, too. I'm just saying.
Yeah. The best part is he says we're not going to judge him, and then he'll launch into all the ways he's qualified, which is judging him.
Sure,
it's just approvingly judging him.
Yep,
right.
It's a different way to judge.
Right.
Now you're telling me you've already judged him and you approve.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, there are things in his life, you know, that we've talked about before that we don't approve of, but you don't.
Well, like the grabbing of the pussy, is that one of them?
Right. Or the how many marriages has this guy had at this point? Which I don't care, but that's fucking, these guys should be anti all that shit, right? They're supposed to be.
I would imagine that.
Because divorce is outlawed in the Bible. Yeah. Divorce is, I mean, it's pretty clear.
It's just as bad as
a shitty document. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying I'm pro divorce. That's, I guess, my stance on that one.
Don't hear those things in the last 10 years. And his language has improved.
Wait, so he was a shitty person 10 years ago?
Yeah, but now their argument is that he's gotten a lot better.
Well, they're again, this is the forgiveness thing. Right. They've forgiven him and he's forgiven himself for grabbing so many pussies or whatever. Right. And he's like, oh, cut off my hand to spite my pussy grabbing hand or whatever.
So. And it is like we talked about before and we'll talk again. It's the forgiveness problem. Like, doesn't matter how bad a person you are, as long as you're like, yeah, but now I love Jesus. And that's all of a sudden erased.
Yeah, and the thing is like, if somebody were to do some horrible shit that you'd look at and be like, I don't know, man. Like, you were saying that you sexually harassed girls and that you wound up going into dressing rooms to see naked girls without their permission. And, you know, what the fuck? What's up with that? And then like 10 years later, like, nah, but I don't do that anymore. Well, yeah, you're fucking 72 years old. You couldn't get a hard on with fucking two people helping. But you did.
Yeah, right.
But you did.
Right. And it doesn't matter that you stopped. Like, I'm sorry, but like there's some shit that's just wrong.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're not doing it anymore doesn't make it okay. Doesn't make you an okay person. Like, you just have to live sometimes with the fact that you've done fucked up and it's a stain on who you are.
Prove better. And remember that guy that he appointed... Scaramucci.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
That guy was appointed for 38 seconds.
That guy was fucking awesome. That guy's the Fonz. He was the Fonz of, okay, fucking suck my dick. Get one of those fucking reporters in here. I don't care which one. Get the old broad. The old broad is going to fucking, she's going to fucking retire next year. I want her to suck my dick. Right here, you, old lady. Yeah, no, the black one behind you. Oh, both shit. Of you, juggle my balls, fucking suck my cock. That's what I want. That's actually tamer than what he said.
I know. Right? Like, this guy would have surprised me if he didn't stick an ice pick through the back of somebody's head.
Or cut somebody up with an axe with a poncho on at some point.
If he made it through his entire tenure without ice picking anybody, I'd be like, did not see that coming.
He's telling everybody that he just got, he's like, I'm a fucking made guy now. Fucking forget about it. Hey, you fucking Ted Koppel, go get your fucking shine box. Get your fucking shine box. This guy is awesome. Fucking, I would have killed to have this guy in the fucking White House forever. Forever. I want everybody from this point on to just say, fuck it, this is my guy. And he's their guy from now on.
I want to hire this guy as a motivational speaker.
I want this guy to book guests for us. I'm gonna be like, he's gonna be calling people. He's like, fucking Sam fucking Harris, I'll make you a fucking offer you cannot refuse. I'm gonna put your I'm gonna put a fucking horse head next to you, you motherfucker. You, it's fucking amazing, this guy. Fucking Scaramucci, man.
Who had a quote and said some really vile things. Do you remember that?
Yes, yes.
He got rid of him.
That's right.
We should hire him.
And he didn't, and he got rid of him, not because he thought those things were vile, but he got rid of him because it's now there's a court of public opinion.
Right.
And when there's enough outrage, even Trump reacts.
Yeah, at some point, the guy was so outrageous that even Trump was like, he reflects poorly on him.
Exactly, right?
But the thing is, like, you're the president. You couldn't vet that guy?
I know.
What, was that guy subtle somehow? He interviewed so well. I didn't expect it. What the fuck?
He was fucking, he had a cannoli in his mouth the whole interview. And he was fucking slapping a hooker.
We met over at Bada Bing's, you know what I mean, huh? It was fine. We were at Lickety Split, and we were, putting some dollar bills into places.
He lit a couple of fucking insurance fraud places on fire for me. I thought he was a good guy. I didn't know. Like, seriously, this guy, there's no way this guy crushes it. That guy's such a fucking, he's such a knob. What's so crazy is that guy's so fucking rich. Like, Scaramucci is fucking rich.
Well, of course.
He's
how
like
do you
a
get
hedge fund guy or something. Like, I don't know what he does, but he's like a super rich dude.
Well, how you get an attitude like that walking through life and you're not unbelievable? Because everybody else would be like, well, this attitude is not working for me.
Right. Everybody else is like, no, fuck that. I keep
getting fired.
Yeah. Guy's worth $80 million.
Oh my God.
The guy's fucking stupid rich. The guy is fucking stupid. He didn't need that job. He wanted to be the big swinging dick in charge of something. Because guess what? In real life, that dude is a big swinging dick in charge of something.
Right.
Yeah. You don't have an $80 million fucking net worth and not be in charge of something.
That's insane.
You can only speculate why. But my personal opinion is that interview was part of.
But my speculation is the following. I love that shit. We can only speculate, so allow me to do so, and wildly.
And he just decided he didn't want his key people talking like that in public.
Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's what it's like. You don't want your key people to misrepresent you. So if I hired anybody and they went out and was like, hey, it's a bunch of cocksucking motherfuckers. I'd be like, whoa, whoa.
Fucking would you fire that guy?
You're so fired.
Fire that guy so fast, his fucking head would fall.
I would hire his friends to fire them too.
Exactly. It's funny because what he's trying to say is, look, Trump is a changed person. Trump is a changed man. What he used to be was more vulgar, and in the last 10 years, he's changed. And now he is a changed person. He's a Christian. We recognize him because he has all these people around him that are Christian. And you're like, just like you said, though, how the fuck did that Scaramucci guy get through the fucking front door then? If he's a fucking changed man, it's not the act of firing him. It's the act that he hired him in the first place. That guy's fucking, he's an open book, man.
I know, right? Yeah. Pause and consider the very idea that what we're seeing now is the new and improved version of Trump.
Yeah.
Right? That he used to be a bad guy, but now the person we see every day, that's the improved version. What was the bad version? What was the version that he has improved upon? Was he just eating babies all day? Just fucking baby juice dripping down his fucking triple chins? Are you kidding me?
Stuffing him in the full.
Just, I'm going to bring this one with me when I go golfing. I'm going to eat it on the 18th hole. I don't know why he sounds like that.
I don't know either.
I do believe that atheists are parasites in the sense they're benefiting from everything that religious culture has built in America, but they're doing nothing to add energy into the system.
All right, this is Right Wing Watch. This is Sandy Rios. Calls to move forward together after New York City terror attack come from the communist playbook.
Wait, what?
I tried online to find a communist playbook.
Oh, yeah.
And I wasn't able to find one. Because that's a bullshit thing she made up.
Communist playbook.
This is great, though.
See, we're going to do the Marx slant. What I want you to do is I want you to run forward. You're going to tackle his capitalist, I don't even know, his proletariat.
All right, we're going to go in a hammer and sickle formation.
I guess you would imagine that there would be the proletariat would be your offensive line, right? And then you'd want to seize the means of production, which is the poor.
All right, so that was CBS, and of course, the rest of the night, the mayor encouraged them to continue with their Halloween parade.
Which I think was great, actually. To be perfectly honest, I think that was great. They There was a terrorist attack in the middle of New York, mm-hmm. or actually in the lower Manhattan part of New York. Guy, did you see how far he drove on the
fucking... I did not.
So he drove like 20-some blocks on the fucking bike path.
Holy fuck,
he was
really?
Fucking driving like 20 blocks. They showed a fucking visual of it. I was like, holy shit, that guy was driving that far. And then he crashed into a bus, got out and got captured, got shot and got captured. But fucking killed a bunch of people. Like, it was a fucking mess down there. And then they still were like, you know what? We're not going to close the parade down. We're still going to do the parade. And I think that's great, right? You're doing something, you're showing somebody, look, you're not going to change our everyday life. No matter what you do, mm-hmm. No matter how you attack us, we're still going to be the same group of people that we were.
Well, and isn't that the goal of one of the many goals of a terror attack, right? It's to fundamentally change something about the culture right. that you're attacking, right?
Exactly.
To create a culture of fear within yeah. the people that you're going after.
Little shots of it this morning, and it just seemed... I made my piece yesterday. I said what I said about Halloween. I saw men people marching in the parade with
men people.
Yeah, they're like mare people, but with penises.
Horror masks and blood dripping down and skulls. And I thought, you know,
yeah, it's Halloween.
It's Halloween.
That's Halloween. Yeah. Are we doing the Halloween thing again? We're doing the thing where we're like, I'm scared of ghosts and darkness and monsters and ghouls. Are you fucking kidding me? This is Halloween. People dress scary and then they get candy. That's all of Halloween. Two things happen on Halloween. Women dress in naughty nurse outfits and stay home, hopefully, mm-hmm. with me. That mm-hmm. sounds good. Or everybody dresses up and then they go out and get candy. Those are the two things that happen on Halloween.
What do you think about the way in which some people dress up with gore and things like that? Like if you had your kids and you're walking down the street mm-hmm. and you saw somebody in a costume that was really graphic.
Yeah.
Not graphic sexually, but graphic violence.
Yeah,
like
right.
like somebody who looked like they had a big like sword cutting their head in half or yeah, something uh-huh. like that. What do you think about that as a parent?
Yeah. I'm totally fine with it. Yeah. I'm totally fine with it. It's Halloween. It's one day out of the year. I think it's campy and silly. I think if you have little kids that are going to be nervous about that, it's easy enough to cross the street. Like my little guy's three, right? Maybe he would be scared by that. I would just cross the street. Like I don't want to like ruin everybody's fun because my kid, once he's old enough, will age into that. Or at least he'll age into where you can have a conversation and sure. say, it's all just silliness. It's
yeah.
it's costumes like your costume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's and just then, more elaborate.
You know,
yeah.
If you're scared of it, we'll walk away. You know, when we walk up to, I went trick or treating and you know, it was myself and Haley and I don't know, half a dozen kids. I don't know how many there were, but the littlest one, there were some of the houses that he was a little scared of because they had like, you know, haunted
yeah,
houses.
Sure.
He was scared of them. Well, okay. So we just stood back a little bit. The end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's fine. Like, I don't know. It doesn't bother me at all. Like, it doesn't bother me at all. Because it's all part of the...
It's part of the day. It's part of the yeah. festivities uh-huh. of the day.
Right.
I don't think that... Personally, I don't think there's anything wrong with any of those things. But yeah. I don't have any kids. So I don't know what that reaction would be, right? Because yeah. I'm not trying to... I'm not trying to filter the world for my child. So I don't know what that feels like, right?
Yeah. But so, let's talk... I'm not either. You know what I mean? Like, to some degree, I guess I am. But like... You know, there is a point in time, and it's sooner rather than later with kids, where kids have to adapt to the world. The world is not going to adapt yeah. to those
sure.
kids.
Sure.
And so the job of parenting is not to say like, oh, I'm gonna shield my kids from everything I can until the very last moment, and then all of a sudden the blinding light of the world is gonna rush in upon them and they'll be exposed to the way things really are. You know, your goal as a parent is to expose them to the right things at the right times to hopefully know what those exposure levels are. And that's going to vary kid by kid
sure,
and yeah. issue by issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, but like the goal for me at least is not to build a world where it's like, oh, I don't want him to see that. Cause what if he gets scared? I'm not scared of my kids crying. I'm not scared of them being nervous or afraid. I don't care.
I think that there is there's no reason to tell your kids the Jesus story unless you wanted to protect them. Right.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like to protect them from the questions of death. You know what
right.
I mean? Like
yeah. uh-huh.
you don't tell them that story unless you're trying to shelter them. And so I think that this is just a natural extension of that, right? This, I don't like the gore. I don't like the skulls. I don't like the blood dripping off
yeah.
of people.
Right.
And the reason why is because you want to protect people from it. You don't want people to see it. But you want to censor these people and how they're dressing. If I don't want to see somebody dressed up in a bunch of gory shit, I won't go out on Halloween.
Yeah, it's easy.
If I don't want to see that on television, I'll just change the channel. Like I don't have to watch... you know, some, you know, gory movie if I don't want to watch it. I could just change the channel or not.
That's the thing is that you have to seek it out.
Yeah. You and have that, to go out and right. do these things.
You have to go out and yeah. find something to be yeah. offended by.
Yeah.
And then be like, well, when I look for the thing that offends me, yeah. I found the offensive thing.
I was titillated once right. I, you know.
Yeah. When I was done jerking off yeah, to that, I was fucking sitting with my flaccid fucking dick in my hand.
I felt ashamed.
All of a sudden, the shame rushed in and yeah. I deleted my browser history.
I never.
You know, we've all been there.
No.
You know what I do? Bookmark, publish motherfucker.
I shared a Facebook.
The weirder I feel after, the harder I hit bookmark.
That's so funny. Yeah, there. Did I just share that to Facebook? Please don't say I just shared that to Facebook. I don't want anybody to know about this one.
Did you see the Pornhub April Fool's prank?
Uh-uh.
On April 1st, I think last year, when you went to Pornhub's main page, it said like, it had a thing pop up. It was like, you know, hope you enjoyed your video. We just shared it to your, it had like Facebook and Twitter and
that's and so
was,
mean.
And then like it faded out. It was like, ah, we're just kidding. Here's so some titties. Mean. And it's just like, ah, so mean. It's so great.
Not quite right here. This is all just wicked. It's just wicked. And so, you know, now we're free to march in the streets with blood dripping masks and carrying skulls. So that's
on Halloween. That's the thing that's what Halloween is.
It's not like it's not like they're doing this on like July 16th or something. You know,
That would be weird, yeah. right?
Or if every Thursday we did it, that'd be a little weird.
It'd be weird,
yeah,
yeah. But it's culturally fucking appropriate. You killjoy. God, she sounds like so little fun, doesn't she? That's the thing about Sandy Rios.
Yeah.
She sounds like the least fun woman on earth. So unfun, it'd be ridiculous. Not a smile when you fuck her in the ass, not even a grin.
It's what the mayor and the governor encouraged people to continue to do. I just think they're missing the point. And as I heard the governor speak
of being scared, they're supposed to be scared like the terrorists want them to.
But then they wore masks and scared the other terrorists away.
Yesterday, Cuomo, he kept saying forward together. Well, that was, I believe, an Obama phrase. And I think it's a phrase that comes out of the old, again, communist playbook, forward together. Forward, you know, we're strong. Remember, we've discussed, we're Boston strong. We're New York strong. Man, we're too tough. Nothing to see here. Just move on. Just continue. It's really kind of bizarre.
It doesn't mean there's nothing to see here. It means it means in the face of adversity, we don't crumble, right? That is an affirmation of the strength of a people under pressure. What the fuck else would you do? Be like, oh no, we're fucking totally not up for this.
Yeah.
Like, what's the other message?
Well, I guess the other message is just sitting in a hump or a clump in the corner, just weeping.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what are you supposed to do? And the idea of forward together though, it's like, okay, they're words of encouragement. Maybe it's just empty words in some ways too. Maybe they're just empty words, but you know, some people may find those words to be encouraging. Okay.
Well, I think it's the together thing that she's saying is communist, right? Like it's, but like, that's what a society is. Like, you know, it's like, you know, this desire for rampant independence that's not even the right word, not independence, individualism.
Yeah.
This desire for like a sort of hyper individualism, rather than any kind of idea that we can have a society where we do come together, where we do rally around a shared set of values. That's what a nation is, right? A nation is nothing. It's not the land we happen to live in. It's sure. not the fucking agriculture that we have. It is the shared values that we as a people have. That's what any group is. That's what any community is. That's what your family is. That's what your social circle are. That's what your, even to your workplace. And no matter how you expand it, it is a gathering of people that have some kind of shared purpose, some sort of shared set of values. This idea that like, it is threatening to our individualist spirit, our American individualist spirit, if we ever acknowledge that as a society, we'd like to work together at something, is just fucking insane.
But at the same side of their mouth, they're saying, how dare we go against the government? How dare we march against the government? What is wrong with us? We need to come together. They say that unity shit all the time.
It's a message that they play both sides of, right? When they're gathering for things that they don't like, then it's communist. When they are gathering to protest for, when you gather to protest for your individual rights, somehow that's no longer collective.
Everybody has a way of interpreting them to be the truth or not truth. There's no such thing, unfortunately, more of fact.
All right, this is Right Wing Watch. Conservative columnist Robert Mueller should be fired for indicting Paul Manafort.
Huh.
So this is a clip. Let's go ahead and listen to what she has to say.
Nothing in this indictment against Manafort and Gates is something that could not have been handled by a regular prosecutor in the Department of Justice. So the chilling implication of this for all Americans is that if you get involved in politics, if you get involved even as a volunteer in a presidential campaign, and there is a targeting, if the person that you support is unpopular for whatever reason, then you could be subjected to a investigation with almost unlimited resources.
So what? So even if that were true, yeah. Like, let's say I volunteered tomorrow and then somebody was like, we didn't like that you volunteered. We're going to investigate you. You wouldn't find anything.
Yeah.
I've broken no laws.
Right.
It's, you know, like we've talked about this before too. It's the skeletons in every closet idea, right? Yeah. Like there's a certain group of people. It's like, well, you know, there's skeletons in every closet. What if it all,
yeah, those are all
like,
people with skeletons in their closet.
Exactly. Yeah. And we've talked about this. Yeah. It's like, you could take everything I've ever done, write it down on a piece of paper and publish it. And I'd be like, yeah, that's what I've done. The fucking end.
I think that there's a lot more people that are just good people.
Right.
They're just good people. And this doesn't affect them at all. This idea that you're going to be like, look, they'll have unlimited resources. Well, they're going to waste a lot of resources.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have any contact with Russia.
And it's like, you know what I mean? Right, exactly.
Because I didn't get contacted by Russia last
week. It's so funny. It's like, well, you know, they've looked into it and then they found stuff. Now we're mad about that the stuff was found. And it's like, well, I don't know. Maybe don't have any stuff to find.
Yeah. Maybe don't conspire against the United States.
Right. But that's what investigations do. They investigate to discover if there's wrongdoing. That's their job as investigators. That's why the word investigate is the first big piece of that word. Yeah. All we have afterward is ers.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Their resources, funds, attorneys that are thrown at you to try and get the true target of the political operation. And I think that that should concern every American, Democrat, Republican, independent, non-politically aware people.
I've never been less worried about anything in my entire life.
I couldn't imagine being less worried about that. And the thing is like, here's the thing. They're not finding false stuff.
Right.
If they were just making things up or accusing people of being communists or something, then we have something to worry about. But if they're just like, hey, we dug into all your previous records and you were getting paid by somebody from another country and you were trying to influence, this current election by volunteer in a volunteer capacity, but it doesn't matter. You're still trying to influence the people on this side to get them to a table to talk about Hillary.
Well, and let's be entirely fair too. Like I would have a problem if they investigated and found some unpaid traffic tickets and decided to make a big deal about that. Or they investigated and they found out that like you cheated a little on your income taxes and now we're going to audit you for the next, you know, like, yeah, I'd be like, yeah, that's fucked up.
Right.
That's fucked up.
Right.
That's clear persecution.
Absolutely.
Right? That's fucked up. But that's not at all what's happening here. It's not even remotely the case. So I'm not worried.
Yeah, these are not trumped up charges.
Trumped up.
That this is truly an abuse of power. And Ron Rosenstein is supposed to be overseeing this investigation. And he should have fired Mueller yesterday when this indictment came out. And if he couldn't have fired Mueller for whatever personal reason, he didn't want to do that. He should.
Oh, they want him. They want him fired because he's saying things they don't want to hear.
Well, but I know, but it's like you can't call for his ouster because he's found out stuff you don't want to listen to.
Of course,
you sound like a lunatic when you sound like, oh, I'm hiding some stuff and I don't want you to find it.
This is tying a towel around your head when you're afraid of something. When you say, this is that. If I can't see it, it can't see me.
Yeah. Do you remember? Have you ever been like when you're like a little kid and you get caught doing something and you're in the middle, you get caught and it's like, what are you doing? I wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
And you're like real fast when you say like, I wasn't definitely doing that right now.
Yeah.
Look the other way. Don't open the door, Dad. Yeah. Like,
resign because he is not fulfilling his duty of overseeing the special counsel so that it does not become outside the scope of what a special counsel investigation should be.
It's investigating Russia. It's investigating contacts with Russia. And one of them was charged with conspiracy against the United States. I think that's perfectly within scope of this investigation.
But again, it's not like they went looking for his unpaid taxes or his, you know, traffic violations. Yeah. That's not what they found.
12 counts of things. Yeah. 12 counts of things. It's not
that's
like
not
just
one.
Like, yeah. And these, some of these are very serious crimes.
Well, of course, the plain truth is that Rosenstein is up to his ears in the earlier investigation started by Mueller, the guy in question now, and then carried on by Comey, of actually not just collusion, not talking about it, but actually selling a 20% of our uranium to the Russians. Rosenstein's name is all over the documents that did that.
Oh, the uranium thing again.
Oh, my gosh. And that's what Trump's been selling, too. He's been trying to push people and be like, hey, guys, the uranium thing. And I recognized when this week, when these things came out, you had said, I think a good way to put this was not, this is not opening the door, but this might be a wedge, you know, to get the door open, to see if there's something else that comes to this. But when they got Manafort and they got, you know, these other guys, they got Gates
Papadopoulos,
and then Papadopoulos. I did not think that this is not the kingdom coming down.
No, not yet. Yeah. I do think that it is, I'm hoping very much that this is the leading edge of an attack wedge, that it is the opening salvo in a much larger set of charges.
Now, this battlefield is rife with inaccuracy. You dead people, stop playing cards. And Stonewall Jackson, stop rollerblading.
The South will boogie again.
This story's from CNN Politics. Kelly, this is crazy. Lack of an ability to compromise led to the Civil War. So he's talking about the civil right or the monument scandal.
Yeah,
that's what he's referring to here.
And here he is. He's on CNN. He's talking about it. We're just going to play his clip.
I would tell you that Robert E. Lee was an honorable man.
He's an honorable man.
He was a slave owner.
Right. He was a slave owner who was the general for the piece of the country that tried to violently leave the traitors, the traitor side, the losing traitor side that wanted to protect slavery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. Honorable.
Back. Got it. Honorable.
He was a man that gave
like up slaves.
Yeah.
Gave up his country to fight for his state, which is
being a traitor.
Yeah.
Which is traitorous.
Only definitionally.
Yeah.
50 years ago was more important than country. It was always loyalty to state first back in those days. Now where it's different.
Well, it wasn't for several of those states, it turns out.
Right. It wasn't for half of the northern.
And it turns out that he wasn't actually fighting for his state because he joined another confederacy that was another bunch of states.
So a confederation of states, for example?
There was two confederations of states that were fighting against each other. One was the United States.
It's almost like they tried to form a separate country made up of a series of states.
That were already states in the other country.
What was their big wedge issue? I think it was the states' rights to own other people.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was what the states wanted the right to do.
Some people disagree on that.
Well, they're wrong and don't know what they're talking about.
Today. But the lack of an ability to compromise led to the Civil War.
A compromise on what?
You know, it's so weird because
what,
I thought
like
that
the three-fifths compromise?
Here we go.
What are we talking about?
How do you compromise on the issue of slavery? Like, what is the compromise?
Here's the thing. I want to own you. Can we compromise and say you get 1 month off a year?
How about if I don't own you, but I just set the minimum wage at $7.50 an hour?
Indefinitely.
We're going to call you not slave. That's bad. We need a modifier. You still earn a wage. You could be a something wage slave.
Like yeah,
America, make great again.
This guy is talking about slavery as if there was no way to comp. There's no way. That's like being like, you know, I want to compromise with people who like murder children.
But, well, it's like being a little pregnant.
Yeah.
Are we just going to own the ugly ones?
Yeah, slavery's binary.
Yeah.
Right? It's either on or it's off. There's no like in between where you'd be like, well, can't we just compromise and make sure that they're just not people? We did that anyway.
What would the world look like with any compromise? Like any compromise would look something like, you know, you can't own more than a certain number of slaves or, you know, you can only have one generation of slaves or you can only own people on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, yeah. on Tuesday, Thursday. They are not free. I don't know. They got to come back and be slaves next day. I don't know how it would work.
Anklet.
Yeah. But like, what world would we want to build in where slavery was not abolished?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, any compromise means that slavery is not abolished. Right. And the only way to deal with slavery is to recognize it as the inherently morally evil thing that it is and abolish and destroy it. What compromise would you have on that subject? It's astonishing.
Do we just elect a bunch of people who are just like, yeah, we're kind of rethinking the slavery thing?
Maybe it wasn't so bad.
Doesn't it feel like that sometimes?
It feels like that, like right now sometimes. Oh. Yeah. Right? Like, you know, it's like he's looking around and being like, you know, it wasn't so bad for white people.
Yeah, no shit. Right? Yeah, no, they're fucking knocking it out of the park back then.
I gotta say, being waited on hand and foot by a house slave does sound kind of nice. Well, yeah. If you're a racist.
Yeah.
And you want to own people because you're evil.
Unbelievable.
It's not human intelligence.
So stories from Newsweek. Is Alex Jones peddling lead-tainted sperm-killing products?
Sperm-killing?
I got to say, if they are sperm-killing products, his fucking devotees should buy lots of these. I mean, yes, 100%.
I don't know that you could kill Alex Jones's sperm. They're probably bench press like 250.
I feel like all the steroids he does kills him anyway.
That's true. Yeah, it's tiny little balls.
I guess that is back knee that he's rocking.
Little shriveled little balls.
but I guess toxic heavy metals have been found in the supplements that he sells on his website. So his website is chock full. If you go to Alex Jones InfoWars website, his website is just chock full of all this crazy supplement garbage that he's hawking, right?
Yeah. And he's, it's crazy too, because this is all that quackery stuff. And it's all the quackery stuff that we've always pointed out in other people, right? But he has the best audience for this stuff. I mean, he genuinely has. If you were going to sell fear of an organization in the doctors, like in medicine as an organization, you know, he's a guy who has people who watch him who believe in chemtrails. They believe in second shooters at all different kinds of, you know, events,
false flags.
They believe in the JFK bullshit. They believe in all kinds of, I'm talking about the JFK assassination was assassinated by aliens or whatever the fuck they believe. You know what I mean? Like all the goofy shit that they believe. These people are credulous and they line up for all the other stuff that he sells. So why not sell them one more conspiracy? Why not sell them one more conspiracy that all the doctors are out to get you and that all you need is these supplements, because all these other doctors, they've seen cancer walk right out of people. They've had a cancer patient on their table and they've given them this fucking colloidal silver or whatever garbage you're going to sell them and they got better.
Yep.
What better group of people to have as your audience to sell that? That's why the religious people do this stuff all the time when they sell the fucking get out of debt free water and all that stuff. That's why the religious people fall for it. And that's why these people fall for it. It's because they are primed. They have primed this pump to feed these people this stuff.
He's also a guy who sells easy answers.
Right.
You know, that's the wonderful thing about conspiracy theories is they're full of easy answers. They create a new narrative that is in many ways more believable than somebody we don't know why just shot a lot of people. That's a really uncomfortable thing to think about, right?
Yeah.
Why did it happen? We don't know why.
Yeah.
What motivated him? We're not sure. Well, it's much more comforting in a lot of ways to believe, well, it was more than one person and this was their motivation and we know who they are. And at least, because knowing is always more comforting than not knowing, right?
Sure.
Easy answers to difficult problems are part of conspiracy theories' appeal, right? Yeah. These products are the same thing. Oh man, I'm always low on energy. I don't feel good. Oh, here, take this thing. Take 2 ounces of this magic fucking juice and you'll feel a little better. Yeah. It's never, you don't feel good and you're always tired. You know what? You're 40 pounds overweight.
Yeah.
And you don't, you know, and you eat fucking Doritos every day.
Harder. It's a lot harder to change that than it is just to take a pill or take a supplement or juice instead of one of your meals a day.
Right.
You know?
So they want to sell the easy answer instead of the more challenging answer, right? Even if the more challenging answer in some cases is more accurate. Yeah. It's like, same thing with like cancer. It's shit like that. It's like, I got cancer. Well, that's sad. And maybe there's good treatment and maybe there's not. And, you know, probably that answer is yes and no, depending on the type of cancer and when you caught it.
Yeah,
it's complicated. It's not complicated if it's, here's some colloidal silver and it gets rid of it.
Yeah.
Or here's an alkaline diet.
Or pee therapy from Brzezinski or whatever it was that he was giving people.
Easy answers sell because they're comforting.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, and in this particular case, he's got a group of people that are willing to buy all of his supplements that he's probably making a fucking killing on. He's got to be fucking raking it in. And they're finding lead in these supplements in amounts that is like 8 and 9 times normal amount, like of daily requirements, like not daily requirements, like daily limits,
acceptable limits.
And the one thing that they did do though, is they sent out, this is like whatever the garbage is. Like we say, like this is St. John's wort or this is, you know, sea kelp or whatever. They didn't find that he's cheating people in that sense, right? He's not, none of that stuff is coming. A lot of that stuff is coming back and just like, no, it's basically what he's saying it is.
Right.
Which some people don't even do, right? There's some supplement companies out there that they say they're giving you St. John's wort and they're giving you like fucking
ragweed
or
from
something.
The backyard,
yeah. They're giving you hay or, you know, fucking a little bit of spit in a bottle or whatever.
Do you remember that? So we covered that and it was like they did a test of a bunch of those supplements and they had none of the actual supplement in them.
Some of them don't even include it. BuzzFeed did test them for this and they said that they did include that stuff, but it also included lead. Shit with a bunch of lead in it.
Right. What I do feel bad is that these credulous folks, they're buying this trying to feel good.
Yeah.
They're buying this trying to feel healthy, right?
They're being
misled by somebody. And I don't want to blame the victim here.
No.
You know, who I blame is Alex fucking Jones.
Sure.
100% Alex Jones. It's evil. It's mean-spirited and it's cynical. He knows his audience. He knows this is just a heaping bag of garbage that he's selling. He knows that what this is a profit margin and nothing else.
Yeah.
And he's selling it. And he's preying on people who just want to feel well. That's all they want. If you've ever been sick, like sick,
vulnerable people. They're the most vulnerable people.
Right.
They're absolutely vulnerable because they're stuck in a situation that might be very bleak for them.
Right.
And so they're vulnerable. They're easily influenced. It's a bad situation to be in. It's not their fault.
You are watching the beginning and the birth of the new world order. And you want to call me crazy? Go to hell. Call me crazy all you want.
So this story comes from Media Matters. Now, this isn't Alex Jones. This is an Alex Jones stand-in. I guess Alex Jones was bench pressing or something. Reporter for Alex Jones's InfoWars says Hitler is alive and the U.S. government is covering it up.
Huh. Okay. Well, reporter Owen Shorer is the guest host.
Wow. Welcome into the Alex Jones Show, folks. It's amazing. Here we are. So much news. And the news is so big. And the news is so frequent.
The news is frequent. What a goofy fucking thing to say. The news is frequent. Yeah. If you have a daily news show, you're going to go out and find new
news
things.
New news.
For the news.
Biggest news every day becomes a back page story the next day.
Because you said it the day before.
That's how that works.
And you don't want to say this. Like, it's not you to go to the editor and be like, remember that story we ran yesterday? Yeah. I say we just run that fucking thing again.
You know, maybe you can get a full week's run out of like a 9/11.
Right? It's like, it's not like the news is a fucking variety clip show. And you're just like, I don't know. What do we do Thursday? Let's do that one again. That was good.
Playing the same clip over and over again.
It's not like the toaster shakings of CNN. Exactly.
The Las Vegas massacre cover-up.
There was no cover-up. What are you talking about?
He doesn't know.
He shrugs his shoulders.
He made it. Yeah, he made that up. So
nothing.
Yeah. That's
what would you report? I
mean, there's no news.
But we don't know that there was a cover-up and there doesn't seem to be any evidence of one.
Yeah, there's no evidence of a cover-up. Seems like one guy and nobody really knows why he did it.
They're hiding the real truth by not.
And that is sad. And that is sad. And it's one of those things that we look at and we go, fuck, man, I wish I knew why.
Yeah.
Why did somebody snap like that? Maybe we can prevent it.
Yeah.
You know,
I know it's in our nature to understand why, you know, it's in our nature to say like this terrible chain of events occurred. And I want to understand what goes wrong in the human machine that causes this to occur.
But and it sucks.
Sometimes we don't get to know.
And it sucks to be the person to be like, man, I wish I knew, but I don't.
Yeah. But you don't.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't know everything.
Yeah.
The JFK files being declassified. Hitler still alive.
What? Hitler is still alive. How old would Hitler be right now?
When was Hitler born?
Adolf Hitler was born April 20th, 1889.
He's 128 years old. Surprise, the motherfucker!
It's 1989. It's just like sitting somewhere. Kill me, God. Kill me. Oh, could you? I was fucking what a stupid
Hitler
thing
is
to
still
say.
Alive.
What a stupid thing to say. And the reason why they're saying this, Tom, is because somebody found in one of the JFK documents that was released, at least I thought I saw this week, somebody had found a comment about Hitler being alive after the war and that there was a cover up, but it was a comment by just some random jamoke that happened to be cataloged in the JFK file that really wasn't like by like, it wasn't like JFK before he died, right, turned to fucking somebody who's like, just so you know, Hitler's alive. You know, like, and then he gets shot or something. Yeah. And then the next moment his fucking throat is in the front seat.
Oh God. I'm amazed that those Jew hearts kept him alive for so long.
God,
a few extra years. Don't get me wrong.
You gotta fresh squeeze him. That's the key.
He's got like one of those like orange juicing machines.
It's
like
got the little boobies
on
what
I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah. With the thing, yeah. With the juice, it's got the reamer in
it. It's like a zester.
Yeah.
It's like
a reamer.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
I'm going to ream that Jew heart. Forever.
Tell you what. You know, it's funny too, because these JFK files got released last week, was it?
Last week, yeah.
And I remember seeing a Reddit thread, and the Reddit thread basically was like, any bombs in any big revelation that anybody's finding in these JFK files that got released. And there was one or two things that were interesting, but right underneath was a comment that was basically like, yeah, you misunderstand that document. You misunderstood that document wasn't a person of like that has any authority saying that. That was just like a testimony of some random person or
somebody got interviewed and everything gets put in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so there's a bunch of this stuff that came out, like three or four things. But most of them were just, all you had to do was read the second comment. You'd be like, oh, okay, well, that's nothing then. There's nothing. There was nothing. Nobody was like, oh, this proves anything. After it all got released, I was just like, yeah, nobody, there was no hubbub after it was done. They just released the files and nobody cared.
Because it's uninteresting information. It happened 50 fucking years ago. At some point, it's like, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
He died. The dude died fucking half a century ago.
Half a century ago. And
who cares
anymore? It happened
anymore.
How they said it happened.
Right.
All the history textbooks lied to us. I was lied to my entire life about JFK.
I'm lying to you right now.
Was he Hitler? Is that what we're... Whoops.
Knowingly by my government. I was lied to my entire life about Hitler. Knowingly by my government. And that's just a non-story now because you've got another radical truck running people down in the streets. Folks, I'm Owen Schroyer filling in for Alex Jones today, but do not be afraid because we have a ton of great guests today. We will be hearing from Alex Jones in the next segment. And then David Knight will be joining me in studio. Paul Joseph Watson will be Skyping in.
From his basement.
from his mom's house.
Basement.
From Europe, where the trucks are out of control in Europe, folks. We got to do something about these trucks before they make it here.
Trucks?
No, those trucks, the trucks are out of control in Europe, and then they have the big floaty tires, and they're just going to come over the ocean. Next year sometime, they'll be here.
Fuck, somebody stop the trucks. America's made out of trucks.
Just lead them into the doldrums, and they'll just be stuck
stuck
there.
And never go.
Yeah, they'll just be...
We're made in time. We put balls on our trucks.
Yeah, bring those fuckers over here. We'll put nuts on them.
It's
get the
fine.
Fuck out of here.
We'll strap a fucking gun rack to the back of that thing. We'll have seven American flags.
Fucking chrome balls on there.
Right?
Get the fuck out of here.
We got to stop those trucks before they make it to America. What are you talking about?
There's a lot of trucks here. We don't need to import trucks.
Thing to say.
We're built for
trucks. We export trucks.
So I want to thank our new patrons, Joe, David, Julie, Krolf, Michelle, Thomas, Holly, Kay, Sargon Smug Fucking Face, Tamara, Wang Dang Sweet Eggnog,
ugh. Ugh.
Eric, Soren, Kevin, Sharon Frankel hosted the delightful podcast Habeas Humor, Yvonne, Emily, Angela, Hi Ting sings songs of science. Mike, Steve, Colton, Pete, Jacob, Fred, Tyler, Lynette, Andreas, Sonia, 11 Engineer, IntelliGirl, Mike, Ashley, Shane, Josh, Spencer, Jeff, Hertzie, and thanks so much for your generous donations. We really do truly appreciate it. You guys are the reason Glory Hole Studios exists. You're the reason we're able to travel to Australia to visit fans. So I want to thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
We're also going to be adding another employee to the family soon. Well, we're not going to talk about it yet, but we are going to, we don't want to get people sending in resumes yet.
Right.
But we are going to add another employee when we get back in December. So
sharpen your pencils for just keep them sharp.
Keep them sharp. Keep them sharp.
Keep them sharp.
We're not asking for resumes yet though. We're going to do a little bit of email here. We got an image for a donkey with a hat on from Amrit, and we're going to put it on this week's show notes.
Exactly what we were hoping
exactly
for.
Exactly what I was hoping for.
I wanted the sombrero hat, and I got it. Thank you.
Wanted the Dirty Secretary, and I got that on Pornhub. So we got a message.
I love this.
This is from Darcy, and Darcy sent us this image. It's not really an image. It's a story, or it's a news story about a hipster nativity scene. And the images on here, we'll put a link on this week's show notes. It's hilarious. Like the mom and dad taking a selfie with their baby.
Mom's got a cup of Starbucks. Dad's just got a fucking hipster beard.
Yeah. It's barefoot.
Uh-huh.
And then there's three, the three wise men are on Segways and they have Amazon boxes under their arms.
And a fedora.
It's fucking awesome. So check it out. We'll put it on this week's show notes. So this is episode 385. Somebody sent Whiskey sent us this. This is a website we're going to put on this week's show notes. It's called True Size Of. And so you can select one of the countries on the map. We're talking about the size of Africa. And you can select one of the countries on the map. There's three of them that are out there. There's China, there's India, and there's the United States. And you can move them. And as you move them farther down the toward the poles, they get larger. As they move down to sort of show the true size of what the country actually is, the farther down away from the equator they are. And so to represent it easier on a globe. And so when you move the countries around, especially the United States, it totally fits in the top part of Africa.
It's like easily fits in the half of Africa.
Yeah. And up in the top part. And then if you position these right, India can fit down at the bottom, and then China basically takes up the rest of it. You could have those three countries and they fit
in Africa,
no problem.
Right.
We're going to put a link on this week's show notes so you could play around with it. We got a question. This is from Theo, and he says, what canned food can you eat right out of the can and be shamelessly satisfied or fucking privately satisfied? What canned food can you eat directly out? And I know exactly what I'm going to say.
Well, I want to hear yours first.
Jellied cranberries, the cranberry sauce right out of the can.
Oh, yeah? You like that stuff?
You can eat it right out of the can.
Yeah. Do you like that stuff?
I like it. Sure. I like it.
I haven't had that since I've made, as soon as I found out you could make your own, it was so easy.
Yeah.
I made my own because I remember like my dad hated that shit. But I remember at Thanksgiving, which is coming up, like I remember my aunt like plopping it out and like slicing it on the plate. Yeah. And I remember it had the ridges of the can embedded in it and everything. And I remember being like, that didn't appeal to me, but it tastes fine. I'm sure it's the delicious easiest thing in the world to make.
I love it. And it is super easy to make, but you gotta go buy cranberries and stuff. Right. And that stuff just comes in a can, put it in the fridge for a little while, take it out, open the can up, and it's perfect right out of the can.
Is it really?
I love it. I haven't had it since I was a little kid.
Serve it. Yeah. I don't know. So I haven't had anything. I haven't eaten a food straight out of a can and I don't even remember how long, but I will say when I was a kid, this is disgusting. When I was a kid, and I mean, this is up until I was 15 or 16, Dinty Moore beef stew.
Yeah.
I would open that shit. It fucking looks and smells like dog food.
Yeah.
But, and because it's dog food. Let's be brutally honest. Yeah. It is dog food. It is dog food. I would eat that dog food out of the fucking can.
Same thing with the
canned peaches and like the canned, like,
yeah, any kind of, the thing is about fruits and vegetables and things like that is they are picked right when they are ripe and then they're put in cans. And so some of that, like, I think canned corn is very good.
I think it's
excellent corn. So certain vegetables and things, it almost feels like I'm cheating by saying cranberry sauce, you know what I mean? Because they're picked at the height of the season and they're cooked into this thing and then they have the gelatin added or whatever. And then they're put into this can. So they're cooked and processed right away. So I almost feel like you're cheating at that point. You got to have something like you, right? Where you're saying like Dinty Moore, nobody would fucking eat that. Nobody's going to go out of the way. For me, when I was a kid, it was the raviolis. It was Chef Boyardee ravioli. I used to love them. I had them maybe 7 or 8 years ago, I saw them and I bought them. I bought a can. They're disgusting. They are so fucking horrifyingly terrible. It is shocking how bad they are.
I had, God, this isn't the Wayback Machine, but maybe like 15 years ago or so, something came over me and I was like, I'm going to try SpaghettiOs again.
They had to be so bad.
You can't know.
You're right. I can't. I never liked SpaghettiOs when I was a kid. I can't imagine.
The little meatballs.
Oh
in
my
there,
God.
The little meatballs.
Oh my God.
Are like, they're like testicles. I plarped it out because
that's what it does, it plarps. I looked at it and
I smelled it and I was like, I'm still gonna try it. And I warmed it up in the microwave because it's garbage food. So I warmed it up in the microwave and then I was like, here we go, down the hatch. It tastes like noodles that have been boiled till they quit.
Yeah.
Like till they're just like, fuck it. We're not even noodles
That's
anymore.
The thing is that everything is cooked so badly and for so long. It's just like, it's impossible to enjoy. And that's what I felt about those raviolis, because you cut into it and you're like, okay. I remember when I was a kid, I'd be like, oh man, the fucking meat raviolis, you used to eat the shit out of them. I take one bite out of it and I'm like, it tastes like somebody filled. It doesn't taste like meat. It tastes like meat substitute.
Yeah.
And
right.
It's like, and it's in this gross fucking wrapper thing that like, it's supposed to be a pasta, but it's long since lost all semblance of pasta. It's now like a gluten bag. Yeah. And you're just like, I don't know. That's not very good.
Yeah.
So send us, when you were a kid, what things did you, if you, you know, ate things out of a can, what was your thing of choice? And if you had the horrible experience that Tom and I had with it later on in life, send us a message and let us know what your thing was.
Yeah, I swear the SpaghettiOs were basically like Cheerio-shaped boogers.
Yeah, they're disgusting.
They were amazingly
It's
bad.
Disgusting. We got an image from Aaron.
I love this.
We're going to put it on this week's show notes. It's a Trump image, so check it out.
Great job.
385. Tom, we got a message, pretty heartfelt message from Greg.
Yeah, so Greg was relating a story, just kind of a sad story and a personal story. I don't want to go through too much of it, but just saying that, you know, it's a big deal when you teach kids that magic and reality blend together. Yeah. It's a really big deal, and it's problematic. And I totally agree. What I really want to read from his email is the PS. He's talking about a wake that he had attended. He says, at the wake, after my diplomacy failed, I reminded the priest that the money he passes on from collection plates every week buys houses in Spain for rapists of children. Oh, somehow, I came off as the asshole. I wasn't the one who bought a house for a rapist. That's great.
Keep your head up, Greg. We got a bunch of people who donated money to the charity It Gets Better. It Gets Better Project. Remember that if you go to last week's show notes, 384, donate and send us proof, we are going to match up to $2,000. We're coming close to that goal, but we'd love it if a few more people would donate so we can get up close to it. We're at about, like right now, we're at about $1,200. We'd like to see a little bit more money come in so we can match that $2,000 of our money to go to It Gets Better. We think that, you know, a good $4,000 is a nice round number to help that project out. It's such a worthwhile cause. We got a message from Ryan, and Ryan said that he was listening to us on a radio setup, and he must have pressed a button, turned on AM Christian radio, and he's completely confused. After a while, we didn't cut in to the Christian radio host with a dick joke. He's like sitting there listening to 20 minutes. He's like, they're really waiting a long time before they
go.
Really letting them go. Yeah. That's
we got lazy. Like, now we're just playing.
Yeah, now we're just playing it. Yeah. We got a great message from Adam. And Adam says that if we don't die in Australia from all the horrible things that can attack us and kill us, he's going to donate $500 to a charity of our choice.
How awesome is that?
That's really great. Thank you so much. We'll let you know what it is when we do the next vulgarity for charity is what we'll do.
So I want to talk real quick. He gives us some shit that can kill us when we're over there. I think Cecil, you and I should just pick something off of this list to try
eat?
To get. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
I got to tell you my favorite one.
Octopus. That's all right, what I'm going for.
My favorite one on here is because only in Australia could even have this. The common death adder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How do you have a death adder that's like, I don't know, which death adder is it? Oh, that's just the regular one. That's not a special death adder. Yeah. That's the common. Oh, it's just the normal, everyday, run-of-the-mill death adder.
There's so many things on this list.
There's so many things.
Ridiculous. The smooth toadfish.
The fuck?
There's a whole bunch of stuff. Highland copperhead. Bunch of snakes.
You got to go looking for some of this stuff, I think.
Giant centipede. Those things are fucking huge. You seen those things?
No.
Oh my God. They're like as big as your foot.
What?
Fucking enormous.
What?
Yeah, big motherfuckers.
No.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I like that number two is the honeybee.
I'm glad I'm just staying in fucking in a fucking hotel the whole time. That sounds great to me. So got a message. This is from Bob, and Bob just started listening to the show. And one of the things he was wondering about was our stance on not giving any quarter to racists. He said, you know, how is this different than if you were to withhold services from an LGBT person, or if you were to discriminate against somebody if they were atheist? And one of the things that we've talked about many times on this show is that an LGBT person is someone who we believe should be a protected class. They're not in all states, but they are in some states, a yep. protected class. LGBT, being somebody who's in the LGBT community means that you did not choose your sexuality. It's an orientation, but it is not something that you decided. You did not, there was no determination to decide it. So you can't give it up. You can't be like, well, I want to give that up. And so for things you can't choose, like skin color, gender, your sexual orientation, those things you don't get to discriminate against those things. But you cannot be a racist. You can just not be a racist. And that's perfectly fine.
Yeah. And two of the challenges in this email I want to address, the first is whether or not those people should be, because I said I'd fire those people.
Yeah.
Like if I found out somebody had marched in some racist march that worked for me, I'd fire them. And I stand behind that 100%. I stand behind that because, you know, this is somebody that's got to represent me and my company and work with the people in my building.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So if I know somebody's a racist and they have to deal with a vendor or they have to deal with a client and that client happens to be somebody of color, how do I know that they're then going to represent my company in a way that's not racist?
Yeah.
Right. I don't. I think now that they harbor an ideology which will influence their ability to make good decisions, right, within my company. I also would be concerned that they would make people within my company that they are racist toward, people of color, uncomfortable. And then I also would worry that my customers would find out that I employ a racist and stop doing business with me. So I have an HR issue with my internal people. I have an issue potentially with the quality of their work in terms of how they'll interface with vendors and clients. And I have an issue with revenue production. Yeah. So all of those things would be problematic for me. He also says, you know, what about free speech? Well, free speech and consequences are not the same thing. Free speech is the government can't tell you what to do. These guys can go out and be racist. I'm not saying don't. If you're a racist and you want to shout it from the rooftop, go ahead and shout it from the rooftop. I am not infringing upon your right to do that in any way by saying, okay, but when I find out what your speech is, I will react to your speech.
Yeah.
Reacting to someone's speech is not violating their free speech. They're still allowed to say it. I could fire them on Tuesday and they can still go out on Wednesday and march in a march, and they can, you know, stand on the street corner and yell whatever hateful shit they want to have. They can have a conference
with speakers and they can do all that. Absolutely. There's nothing that's going to stop them from that.
Their freedom of speech has not changed one iota.
Yeah.
All that has happened is that there are the inevitable consequences to their ideology have reached them.
Yeah.
You know, in this email, it's like, you know, what measure do you hold one human being as being worthless as? Well, I don't know that this person is worthless, but they're certainly not welcome.
Yeah.
Right. I don't need to make room in my life for people that have this set of beliefs. I don't make and I think that's entirely fair. We choose our friends, right? Mm-hmm. We are very picky and choosy about who we have in our life. We don't have just the six first people we met today in our lives. We're always picking and choosing people who feel similarly about, you know, the world and how to navigate it as us. So it's entirely fair to do this.
Yeah, I don't see any problem with making sure the people around you are good people. And I don't see the problem with that at all. I find those views abhorrent. I find those views awful. And if a person like the guy who was praised by Obama and Hillary Clinton, who was a KKK guy who renounced it all and said, I'm real sorry. If I met a racist that was not a racist anymore, that was like, man, I'm fucking done with racism. I was a shitty, awful person. I wouldn't hold that against them at all.
Right. I wouldn't either. And that's not the same thing as we've talked about forgiveness before. That's not the same thing. That's changing your mind. It's no longer holding. Now, it would be different if I found out like, that dude stomped somebody to death.
Okay, he fucking lit a fucking black church on fire or something.
If somebody had a bad set of ideas and they no longer hold that bad set of ideas, great. who you are today matters, right?
Yeah.
The set of ideas and values that you hold at the time that we meet, that matters. That's what I'm going to say. Okay, that's cool. Yeah. But your actions also matter. So if there's shit that you've done, some things I, you know, in my personal dealings with people, there's no takesies, backsies on some shit.
Yeah. All right, so that's going to wrap it up for this week. We're going to leave you, like we always do, with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno-Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo-quasi-alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy, healing, water, downward spiral, brain deadpan, sales pitch, late night info-docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your sides. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and information provided on this podcast are intended for entertainment purposes only. All opinions are solely that of Glory Hole Studios, LLC. Cognitive Dissonance makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, currentness, suitability, or validity of any information, and will not be liable for any errors, damages, or butthurt arising from consumption. All information is provided on an as-is basis. No refunds. Produced in association with the local Dairy Council and viewers like you.